Deutsche Welle. Africa Link.
Amasumta Latos here at Africa Link. Coming up in the next 25 minutes, South African Olympian Oscar Pistorius found not guilty of murder for shooting his girlfriend.
The accused, erroneous belief that his life was in danger, excludes dolus. The accused, therefore, cannot be found guilty of murder, dolus eventualis.
Well, that got many women activists like this one really furious.
Now, what must we do, women? What must we do because of men? Mental women. So we are tired. The men who killed a woman must rot in jail.
We will also be having our radio drama series, Crossroads Generation.
Top story.
It has been just like a TV drama series that is heading to an end. Followed by millions, the court in Pretoria has been full of drama and emotions. The verdict of Oscar Pistorius for manslaughter will now be announced on Friday. He has not been found guilty of murder in the trial in which he shot and killed his girlfriend, Reeva Steenkamp. But the judge says he was negligent in shooting without considering other less lethal options. Our correspondent Tuzo Kumalo was at the court, and here is his report.
Following one of the most publicized trials in democratic South Africa, Judge Thokozile Masipa found Oscar Pistorius not guilty of murder. Masipa said the prosecution failed to prove beyond reasonable doubt that the accused was guilty of premeditated murder. This decision came in spite of the judge's earlier admission that Pistorius was a poor witness who contradicted himself.
This court does not support the state's contention that this could be a case of dolus eventualis. On the contrary, the evidence shows that from the onset, the accused believed that at the time he fired shots into the toilet door, the deceased was in the bedroom while the intruders were in the toilet.
Then this pronouncement gave Pistorius, who was already sobbing, a big sigh of relief.
It follows that the accused, erroneous belief that his life was in danger, excludes dolus. The accused, therefore, cannot be found guilty of murder, dolus eventualis.
The judge dismissed most of the witnesses' evidence, saying it was largely speculation as they were not on the scene. She also said text messages that showed Pistorius and Steenkamp fought sometimes were not helpful to the court. Judge Masipa, however, found that Pistorius was negligent in the way he acted that fateful night. She said Pistorius did not act like a reasonable man when he went on to fire 4 shots through the locked bathroom door without calling the police, the security guards, or at least screaming for help. This verdict has left women's rights activists furious. Kensani Mutele, an activist who picketed in front of the court in support of a harsher sentence for Pistorius, expressed great disappointment.
Yes, Oscar must go to jail. What he did was wrong. So if you are wrong, you must be punished so that you can learn that wrong is wrong, right is right.
Elizabeth Tabete, also another activist present at the court, said she is furious by the judge's decision.
Now what must we do, women? What must we do because of men? Mental women. So we are tired. The men who killed a woman must rot in jail.
But Lina van Brandis said the verdict is welcome news.
I support Oscar Pistorius. I believe he's innocent and not guilty. He's always been my hero. I believe he's innocent. My wish is that he'll just calm down, be himself, just no stress, just God is with him.
The court sitting has been adjourned to Friday, when Judge Masipa is expected to deliver the final part of judgment.
Tuzo Kumalo, not guilty of murder, but negligent in shooting without considering other options. What does all that mean, and what possible outcomes remain for Oscar Pistorius? David Duddick, a legal expert in South Africa, is here to disentangle the puzzle.
Firstly, I think she may have erred in her judgment. I'm not sure she's actually applied the law correctly, and a lot of legal minds, and I think even Gerry Nel, I think he might be looking to appeal the judgment as it stands, because I'm not sure she's applied the law. But having said that, on the negligence side, she's essentially said that he will be convicted of culpable homicide tomorrow, which is the equivalent, I suppose, of manslaughter in the state.
I was also wondering, how different is murder to culpable homicide in South African society, where a person is allowed to own a gun for self-defense?
There are different concepts. Murder comes, and you would have heard the word quite a lot today, comes from a point of view of intent. It is the intentional wrong killing of a person. So you're actually looking to murder somebody, where she said he wasn't looking to kill anybody. Although he was armed and he was in a defensive position, he wasn't looking to kill. So essentially, he killed somebody negligently, in the sense that he could have taken other options. She applied what they call the reasonable man test, and he could have taken other options like phone a security or get out the house and scream from the balcony. So in that sense, he was negligent in overreacting in the circumstances.
And what will happen to him then?
There's no prescripted sentence for culpable homicide, but generally, depending on the circumstances, it could be anywhere from a suspended sentence to between 8 and 10 years imprisonment. Obviously, there's going to be a mitigation of sentence procedure in a few weeks' time, which is almost like a mini trial, where each side will present evidence on sentence. So the defense, Oscar's team, will present evidence to try and have a non-prison sentence handed down. Gerry Nel, on the other hand, will do what he can to have Oscar imprisoned for his crime.
Were you surprised by the judge's statement that Pistorius didn't kill his girlfriend intentionally?
No, I think that as far as the pre-med charge and the intention to kill Reva, I think she was right. I don't think there was we call it dolus directus. There was no direct intent to kill Reva on the evidence in my mind. Where I do think she erred is that she said that there was no intention to kill, irrespective of who the victim is, which is that dolus eventualis that she was talking about. In my mind, I believe the state had proven a case for eventualis in the fact that Oscar was looking to kill rather than, I suppose, kill Reva, but he was looking to kill by the usage of the bullets that he was using, by the door being closed, by the size of the bathroom. These are objective facts which one could see a subjective intent.
David Dadick speaking from Pretoria. Join us again tomorrow for more on that story right here at Africa Link.
Africa Link, because Africa is more than just a headline.
The ECOWAS Defence Chiefs meeting held in Accra, Ghana, has come to an end. Ordinary session, which started Tuesday this week, was reviewing the general security situation in the region and determining adequate responses. Apart from Ebola virus disease outbreak in West Africa, which was characterized as a security threat to the region, the defense chiefs did also deliberate on Boko Haram threats to the sub-region. So how does the regional Ebola actions plan look like? I put that question to our correspondent in Accra, Isaac Kaleji.
Well, they really want to adopt what they call homegrown solutions. What they are going to do is to deploy military personnel who are part of the ECOWAS sub-region. And these personnel will be deployed to countries that are most affected. And what they are supposed to do is to assist health officials of this country to continue to make efforts to be able to contain the disease.
What plans do they have in stepping up the fight against Islamic State Boko Haram, which has been wagging deadly terrorist attacks and kidnappings in Nigeria? Because we know that Boko Haram was actually in the agenda.
They commended Nigeria, first of all, for the efforts they are making to contain the situation. But they thought that more has to be done, and they can also only do that by training themselves as security officials in the sub-region. And what they're also saying is that other countries that are not affected yet by the Boko Haram situation should be on standby to assist with information, with advice, with technology to be able to achieve results. They will also be asking for international support, because they thought that it's not just enough to adopt the sub-regional effort. The official who has been addressing the press after this event has been Vice Admiral Matthew Kwashi, who is chairman of the Committee of Chiefs of Defense Staff. And this is what he has been saying regarding Boko Haram.
We commend the Nigerian government and the Nigerian military for their initiatives in tackling the Boko Haram menace and do pledge our unflinching support to assist in dealing with the situation. I must emphasize that we all need to step up and tailor our training and fighting skills to meet the new terrorism threat, which is not too far from our individual doorsteps.
West Africa is also facing huge piracy issues recently. Are there any plans to protect the maritime areas of the sub-region?
Of course, Assumpta, that was one of the major issues that were discussed. ECOWAS itself has been holding a lot of events across the sub-region to be able to get this issue dealt with. They will also continue to deploy Navy officials along the shores to be able to patrol those areas and be able to tackle this situation. So it was also on the agenda.
As a Kalechi, now 150 days of pain, sleepless waiting and emotions for families and relatives of abducted girls in Nigeria have gone, but too little has been done to bring them back. Bring Back Our Girls campaigners have been continuing to put pressure towards ensuring the rescue of the over 200 girls who were kidnapped by Boko Haram, but without success. Reports say 11 of the parents have died because of frustrations and uncertainties. From Abuja, where Bring Back Our Girls protests were taking place to mark the day, Uwesu Abubakar Idris reports.
When shall we stop?
Not until our girls are back in the land.
It is a sad moment for many of the people who came out to show their solidarity to the Bring Back Our Girls campaigners. They have been putting much pressure on the Nigerian government in the last 139 days without any possible outcome. Their concern is the way insecurity situation is deteriorating in Borno State, northeastern part of Nigeria, especially Chibok and Sambisa Forest, where the girls might be kept by their captors. Dr. Obi Ezekwesili is a former minister who is leading the march.
We're grossly disappointed, and we feel that the girls have been let down by our nation. And yet, because we don't see the result yet, we are more resolved to stand in with these girls until they are rescued. We don't think that because it is 150 days and we don't yet see the result, therefore we should move on and be silent about these girls. These girls must be rescued.
As the campaigners press hard for the release of the girls, 11 of their parents have died in unclear circumstances. Hadiza Bala Usman is one of the campaigners who has just returned from the United Nations, where they made a presentation.
We feel very frustrated that the girls are not rescued up till now. We never anticipated that they'll be gone for this long. There's a huge amount of frustration within us during the advocacy and the community, the Chibok community. I'm sure you'll have heard how the community believes that the time has come for the government to use anything, even if it means force, even if it means bringing the girls back without their lives.
Thursday's protest is symbolic because it happened outside the usual grounds. Hosea Sambido Abana, chairman of the Chibok Committee in Abuja, said he is gradually losing hope on the whole issue.
I cannot categorically believe that these girls are still in the forest now. They have been distributed to different parts of the country. Even outside, I don't know. Because these people, they have a link with the Al-Qaeda. We don't know whether these girls, some are taken to the Al-Qaeda group. Believe me, you will even get some of these girls in Abuja here. It's possible.
150 days, that's 5 months, that we have not seen our Chibok girls. And they are still with the abductors. We would not stop, not until our girls are back.
That report was by Uwesu Abubakar Idris. And now, our favorite drama series produced by the Learning by Ear team.
Deutsche Welle, Learning by Ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Good to have you back for the next episode of Crossroads Generation.
We're standing at the crossroads. We're looking for our way. Crossroads Generation. Our future stands today.
This is our second season called Facing the Consequences. And little things have been tough for our young heroes. Trudy had moved in with her much older boyfriend Manoti, but what appeared romantic at first turned into a nightmare when Manoti started treating her badly and keeping her locked in the house. Luckily, her friend Mercy and some of their classmates came to her rescue.
Trudy, are you all right?
What happened?
Trudy?
Mercy! No,
relax. You're here!
Yes,
you're all down. Here! Yeah,
yes,
oh, thank you!
Come on, we have to get her out of here.
Meanwhile, Mercy's younger brother Banda is still in hospital where he's being treated for TB. He caught the lung disease when he and his twin brother Kadu were working in the mines in the neighboring country of Laboria. But their sister Mercy has other things on her mind. She's pregnant by her classmate Dan, who's just returned to Bongo Academy after being suspended. There was a big surprise awaiting him.
Hi, Dan.
Hi, Mercy.
Hi, Dan.
Anita? What are you doing here?
Exchange student Anita used to be Dan's girlfriend back in Laboria. Now she's at Bongo Academy as well. So Dan is in a tricky situation. Let's join him in the principal's office for this 21st episode called A New Resident.
So you stayed with your Uncle William here in Kisimba the whole time, Dan?
Yes, Principal Juliet.
Do you know how your family is doing back in Laboria?
My mother's fine. She's at her parents' place. And my dad...
What about him?
Well, he's been arrested.
What? Why?
They say it was for financial crimes. And he employed children in his mines.
What? Well, that's none of my business. Since your school fees have already been paid for the whole year, I don't see why anything your father may have done should stop you attending school. Now, as you know from the letter, the school disciplinary committee has decided to let you back to school. If you want to stay here, Dan, you must adhere to all our conditions. One, I don't want to see you anywhere near any of the girls, either in private or in public. Two, you're on probation for 6 months. During this time, if you make any mistake, no matter how small, you will be expelled. And finally, you have to be punished for what you did. So for the next month, you'll tend the flower garden beside the dormitories. Is that understood?
Yes, Madame Juliet.
Now, how your and Mercy's families resolve anything related to your baby is not my business. But I want you to realize that while it is Mercy who has to carry the child, you have responsibilities too. In order to learn about them, you'll be going for counseling sessions at the youth center where Anita volunteers.
No. Oh, please, Madame Juliet. Anita can't be my peer counselor.
Don't worry. Anita's already talked to me about that. She's not crazy about counseling you either. You'll join a boys' group of young fathers who'll all be sharing their experiences.
Okay, madam.
I'll see you in class, Dan. Please, tell Trudy to come in now.
Looks after its own.
My sister.
Look, Mercy, here comes Trudy.
Oh, hi, Mercy. Anita.
Hi.
What are you two so happy about?
Oh, nothing. I'm just teaching our exchange student Anita some of our school traditions.
Hey, Trudy, what did Principal Juliet say?
A lot. We had a long talk. She even called my mother.
So you told Principal Juliet you'd moved in with Manoti?
I didn't want to, but she would have found out anyway. The police have arrested him on charges of false imprisonment.
Oh.
I have to go and make a statement.
Good. I'm glad he'll be punished for what he did to you.
Me too. But did Madame Juliet suspend you, Trudy?
No, I was very surprised. I really thought I'd never see the inside of this school again. Actually, I think she would have liked to suspend my mother.
What?
You should have heard her talking to her on the phone about taking responsibility for children and so on. Principal Juliet was amazing. I almost felt sorry for my mom. Seriously, I don't know what would have happened to me if you hadn't come when you did. Thank you for getting the students to save me. And thanks for letting me sleep in your room last night, Anita.
Come back anytime.
That won't be necessary. From now on, I'm also a boarder at Bongo Academy.
What?
Wow.
Well, at least for the next few weeks. That's what Principal Juliet and my mother discussed to make sure I'm under constant care and surveillance.
Sounds like a good solution.
I think so too.
Come on, girls. Let's go back to class.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, Anita, by the way.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry I can't come to the youth club this afternoon. Can we reschedule? My brother is finally leaving hospital and we have to go and pick him up.
No problem, Mercy. So, welcome to the Youth Center, Nikki. I thought you could sit here in this office for a moment and have a chat, just the two of us, before we all meet for the group discussion. Is that okay?
Yeah, sure, Anita.
Come on, let's sit down. As you know, I volunteer as a peer group counselor here at the center.
Anita, sorry to interrupt, but what exactly is a peer group counselor?
It's someone who's trained to give advice to members of the same age group when they have problems.
Look, I know Madame Juliet wanted me to discuss my drug problems with you, but I still don't feel comfortable with that. I mean, you're a, well, you know.
A girl? I know it's never comfortable to discuss issues like that with a member of the opposite sex. But I promise you that whatever you decide to tell me will never leave this room.
Okay. What do you want to know?
Why did you start to drink and smoke?
Well, it kind of reduced my stress levels.
So you are stressed? What about?
Lots of things.
Nikki, you have to trust me. I told you, not even Madame Juliet will know what we are discussing in here. All she wants to know is whether you're attending our meetings and whether you're making progress. No details.
Okay then. I was stressed about a girl.
Banda, my brother. Here we are. You're finally out of hospital. How do you feel?
Great. Really great.
Yes, my brother. Yes, it's great. Now we can play again all day long.
Hello? Lena? How dare you even... No, my husband's not here. You listen to me. Huh? I've been trying to reach you ever since my two sons came back from Laboria all by themselves. They told me everything. You promised to take care of them and instead you sold them to work in the mines. Don't interrupt me. Banda almost died. What did you say? At a police station in Laboria? Who's been arrested? Kanyama? Who is Kanyama? You know what, Lena? Huh? I hope you both end up in prison because that's where you belong, just like your brother. Don't you even think of calling this number ever again.
What is it, Mom? You look angry.
Your Aunt Lena. She was calling to beg us for help. She and that man Kanyama have been arrested. Thank God.
Kanyama. It's him.
Kanyama, it's him for you.
Wait a minute. Did you say Kanyama? From Laboria?
Yes, that's what she said.
It must be Dan's father.
You mean Dan?
Mm-hmm.
The one who made you?
Yes.
My God, what a family of animals.
Whoa, that phone call and the news of Lena and Kanyama being arrested came as a total surprise, not only to Mercy, but also to her mother and her two brothers. Let's leave them to digest what they've just learned. We'll meet them all again next time. Be sure to join us then. If you want to listen to this episode again, or if you missed one of the previous episodes, you'll find them all on our webpage, dw.de/LBE. And of course, you can also follow us on Facebook. Take care.
Learning by Ear will be back on Monday next week. And now a summary of what we have been covering. The judge in Oscar Pistorius' trial ruled out a murder conviction for the double amputee Olympian in the shooting death of his girlfriend, but said he was negligent. 150 days, almost 300 girls were abducted by Boko Haram in northern Nigeria, and too little has been done to rescue them. It is time for me to go, I'm afraid. For comments or questions, send us an email to feedback.africa@dw.de. or a letter to Africa Link, DW 53110, Bonn, Germany. Till tomorrow, I'm Assumpta Latus. Thanks for listening.